Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm pleased to introduce you to Rebecca Bridge, owner of Bridgeworks Glass, a state-of-the-art stained glass studio with gifts and supplies. At Bridgeworks Glass Studio Supplies and Gifts, they believe that creating and incorporating stained glass into your world will spark your imagination, inspire your creativity, and most of all, help illuminate the beauty of your world. They are a working studio, a gift shop, and a supply warehouse offering visitors and residents a variety of stained glass experiences. Whether you're looking for just the right item for home, business, or gift giving, or a multi-level studio membership or class that will give you access to training and state-of-the-art glass crafting tools, kilns, and supplies, Bridgeworks Glass has something for you. It's a place where you can imagine, inspire, and illuminate. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you very much, Dawn. It's great to be here.
Woohoo! This is so exciting. I'm loving this so much. I can't wait for people to hear more about your story.
Rebecca, me too.
Me too. I'm pumped. I mean, Rebecca, Bridgeworks has celebrated its 8th anniversary this year. Congratulations to all of you.
Thank you. It's a whole crew effort, and every year we just feel like we're getting better.
I think so, too. I can't wait. I mean, I was there pre-pandemic and it was wonderful, but I hear you have some news to share with us that we're going to get into. But first, a little background. This place was birthed from your personal passion. And I'm curious, how did you first discover your love for stained glass?
I was always intrigued by it for a long time. I was always somebody that had to do art in some way, whatever way that was, whether it was even, you know, like working on my kids' birthday parties or something, but I had to do something. And a friend of mine did stained glass. She asked me to do a drawing for her for a pattern. And I thought, I want to do this. So I took a class here in Harrisonburg right after we moved here in 97 from Kay Rogers at Carousel. And after I did that, I thought, you know, I don't want to do what other people design. I want to design my own stuff. So I took that information that I had gathered, and then I started learning on my own from that point on. So I'm pretty much self-taught in these 20 some years. And that is actually, and we'll talk more about this later, but that's actually how we also got into the water jet business, because my dad's a tool and die maker. He saw that I was cutting all this glass by hand, and he said, I know this tool that would cut glass like butter. And that was the beginning of that episode.
Wow. So you, even as early as in your childhood, you were creating and making things. I guess.
Yeah, I've told this story before and people probably roll their eyes because they've heard it before. But I actually did not have a lemonade stand. I had an artwork stand out by the road.
Really?
We lived in northern Indiana on a county road. So it's not like there were a lot of cars going by and nobody ever stopped to buy my drawings. But, you know, I was probably in, I don't know, second grade, third grade, maybe. So I don't know.
You were out there.
I was out there. Yeah.
What was the standard price for a piece? Do you remember?
I don't even remember, but I'm sure it wasn't very much. Probably 5 cents, 10 cents. Doesn't matter. Nobody came. So it's okay.
That's pretty cool though. But you didn't study art in college, or did you go to college?
I did. I went to Goshen College for 1 year and, excuse me, I thought I was going to be an art major at that time. And then I got my MRS degree and moved to Virginia. So MRS degree is Mrs. degree.
I got married. You know what? I was sitting here with my double alum from West Virginia University and exercise science racking my brain.
Yeah, it only took me a year to get that degree. And boy, has it been really, really profitable for me. So
that's exciting. That's funny. You said if this were video, people would have been entertained by the look on my face. I should have figured that out.
I could tell you were, I could see it happening in your brain. Like, what is that? Yeah.
I should know, 23 years married, but oh well. Anyway.
Yes.
Moving on. So what inspired you to open up Bridgeworks here in Harrisonburg? So you came, this is where you met your husband, I guess. Is that what brought you to Harrisonburg?
Actually, we met at Goshen College. Okay. He was a graduating senior. And so, yeah, that's how I ended up in Virginia, because he's from the Tidewater area. But spent a lot of time here, went to EMHS, EMU. And we lived in Tidewater for about 12 years. Then we lived in Indiana for about 3 years and decided that I make a better Virginian than he makes a Hoosier. So Harrisonburg was kind of the compromise between the two, which I think he got a better end of that deal. But anyway, it's that's all water under the bridge, so to speak. but that's when I first took that stained glass class, and that's when I started to get into it. And that's how that then we eventually got into water jet business. And quickly found out that water jet cutting wasn't going to be just a glass thing, because you know, we just couldn't have sustained a business that way. So we ended up doing a lot more metal parts cutting, flooring, inlays, that kind of thing, with glass kind of on the side. And then Carousel's owners, the Rogers, decided to retire, and I guess it was probably about a year later. And there was just a gap in that particular market in Harrisonburg. And we had a building already available, and we thought, well, why not? And we thought, let's buy a big kiln. And if we're going to buy a big kiln, we'll be buying bigger amounts of glass. And if we're going to do that, then we might as well offer supplies for sale. And I contacted Key at that time, who is our studio manager. She managed for Carousel, and she was available. She was excited. And we said, hey, if we start on this venture, will you come with us? and she jumped in and helped us get organized of the things that I had in stock already, how we wanted to set up the studio. And on Facebook, from I think our fifth anniversary, maybe, I have some photos of us getting the space ready and how big and empty it seemed at the time. And oh my goodness, we've come so far since that time. But that's how we ended up in Harrisonburg specifically.
Okay. So it sounds like your husband's a bit of a craftsman himself. What is his background? How does, you know,
he actually is a Class A contractor.
Okay.
And so tool and die was not necessarily his background, but with my parents, who had a tool and die shop in Indiana, and introduction to the water jet, and that kind of the combination of we make a good team, because he's very engineering minded, and you know, I mean, he can draw a house plan and build a house, and that is a creative gift in itself. And he's very numbers oriented, and you know, when things have to fit just right and be straight and all that stuff, he's good with that. I am more the fly by the seat of my pants part of things.
My kind
of girl. I eyeball everything. I go, oh, that looks about center, you know? And so I would do more. I mean, we built quite a few spec houses in our day. And so my part would be picking out the carpet and the, you know, wall color. Of course, most of the time it was just contractor colors, so that, you know, it would go with everybody's stuff. But But yeah, we're a pretty good team when it comes to that. He also keeps my feet on the floor when it comes to processing new things. You know, we say, oh, we could do this and we could do that. And he would always come back and say, so how much is that going to cost? And how much are you going to have to sell that for? And how many do you think you'll sell? And, you know, so he was the good business reminder to my, you know, explosion of, oh, we could do this, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I like it. It's the yin and the yang. It's the dreamer. Definitely. The dreamer married the realist.
Yes. So very much. Yeah.
Well, that works out right quite nicely, I will say.
It does.
But this piece of equipment, this water jet cutting machine, it sounds like originally it was cutting glass for businesses and homes that he was contracted to do
more. Actually, that was more the idea, but it ended up being more that we did like floor inlays. We've done a lot of floor inlays for like we did one for the FBI, we did one for NASA, we did one, well, we did a whole couple of floors for a hospital, and that's where the machine would program a pattern, and the machine would be told which tiles and which colors to cut these patterns, and then we fit them back together like a big puzzle. We've done more flooring inlays than I can count, but then we also did a lot of metal parts cutting too, because the water jet, we had two water jets, and they were much more in the industrial side of things. Where my glass cutting then just became a little side. I want to do this. And, you know, if I had a commission for somebody, I could have the water jet cut the glass for me, which is huge time savings. And you can cut more intricate pieces, and it's, you don't have to grind it. And I mean, in that respect, it's very time saving. But it is a computer controlled machine, which meant that everything had to be programmed. So the process is come up with the idea, get it drawn on the computer, figure out what parts are what color, then pull everything apart by color. And then every piece then has to be programmed in that color for the water jet to cut it. So it's not faster in that there's a lot of organization and programming that has to happen. The faster is that the water jet cuts it very quickly. So once it's cut, then everything fits perfectly, and you know, can put it together and everything looks perfect. So, but that part where the water jet was doing more of the glass cutting came more after we started the studio, that we really started utilizing it for glass the way we thought we'd utilize it when we bought it. So
I got it. Is this computer programming intuitive, something you could teach yourself, or do you need to get trained to use the water jet?
In a perfect world, somebody training you would be helpful. We basically got enough training to be dangerous, and then we taught the rest to ourselves. So I will say we had Omex machines, and we felt like they were the best water jets available. And the programming is pretty intuitive. If I could get good at it, you know, I'm a very visual kind of person. My dad, being the tool and die maker that he is, he was very much used to having to put in lots of numbers and code. And, you know, he used a program called Anvil. And so it was kind of interesting, because he would call me to ask me how to do things on the Omex, which was amazing to me, because my dad can do anything. You know, he's an engineer, and he's so sharp, and he would call me to answer a question on how do you do this on the Omex.
Cool. And the Omex, just for laughers who may not be familiar, that is like the brand of the water.
That was the brand,
of the cutting machine that you had. So that's what he was referring to. Oh, that's pretty neat, right, that you got to talk to your tool and die dad about how to do this.
We connected on a whole different level then, which was really cool.
Really cool. Now, you were talking a little bit before we recorded that that original piece of equipment is not there, and you have some table.
Yes, we decided that my husband Steve is going to semi-retire, and so we have sold our industrial size equipment. We had two water jets, and the last one went out on a truck 3 weeks ago. And so that's an unusual feeling that we have to retrain our brains to not say, oh, we could do this on the water jet, because we don't have those big cutting beds anymore. But we bought, the brand name is called Awazer. And we have it. It's out of the crate. We don't have it set up quite
yet.
Step
one.
So we're going to be learning a little bit different programming, idea, and it only the cutting bed on this new machine is only 18 inches by 12 inches. So it's much smaller. Like our big bed that we had before was 8 feet by 12 feet. So there's very different feel to this. But this this new tabletop water jet will be just for the studio. We won't be doing any other kind of cutting. It's just going to be us being able to continue to cut our pre-cut kits, pre-cut shapes for people. When we have commission work, it allows me to program things that are a little bit more intricate than maybe we could have cut by hand, or would take the ring saw to cut it by hand. So I'm very excited about this new water jet being just for the studio.
That sounds so exciting. Yeah, speaking of commission work, you build custom stained glass windows for businesses and homes. If someone was interested in having a special artisan piece made and done for them, what would be the process?
Well, if they came into the studio, I would be the one to talk to them. I do most of the design work in the studio. I like to get a sense of what they think they're looking for, which may be something completely different in the end, but we got to start someplace. So I usually ask them to kind of look online and send me anything, any picture online that they've seen that inspires them, whether it's the design of it, the color of it, the feel of it. Everything we do is unique to us. Don't copy anybody's designs or anything like that. It's just to give me a sense of what they like, what speaks to them. And then I usually ask them to send me pictures of the inside of the house and the outside of the house where the panel is going to be installed, and anything relevant in their house that they think could be part of the inspiration. So sometimes people will come in and they say, well, we want this panel for our living room, but we don't really know what we want. So then we start trying to narrow down style, color. And once I get a sense of where they're coming from, then I try to just kind of expand on that. And so when they come in and we talk about it and they tell me the size of the window, I give them a price based on a square foot price. And I will do, oftentimes I'll do just a really quick like pencil sketch to kind of see if I'm headed in the right direction and whether they think that we can work together. And then they sign the contract, put half down. And what I give them is a not to exceed price, which you could pretty much figure that's going to be the price, but it won't be over that.
Okay.
And then I start doing the design work, and I have a program on the computer that allows me to actually put representation of the glass into my design.
Oh, cool.
So they can get a pretty good feel of the combination of the design, the colors, the texture. And then when they approve that, then we create it. And when they pick it up, they pay us the second half and go home and they're happy.
That's fun. What's one of your favorite pieces, or a couple of your favorite pieces that you've done?
One thing that I have discovered in my aesthetic, the things that I enjoy doing most are more realism based. I like doing animals. One that was particularly special to me was just one for my mom. She didn't pay me for it.
But, yeah, of course. I work that angle too, Mom. I work it.
She paid for the supplies. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
She started quilting about 4 or 5 years ago. And so she wanted something that had the quilt as the main attraction to the window. Excuse me. And this was probably about 4 square feet. The window was decent size, maybe a little bigger than that. And so then she didn't give me anything else besides that she wanted the quilt to be the centerpiece of the window. And it ended up turning out really well. I mean, she loves flowers. It has some very brightly colored daylilies in it. And the quilt turned out really nice. It has her horse that she used to have in the background. It has a big red barn in the background. It's very Indiana, which is where she lives. So it's called Indiana Summer. And and I love seeing it when I go to her house. And, you know, so I would say that's probably one of the most special ones that I've gotten to do.
I love that. What's the largest undertaking you all have done?
We did a pretty large one for when Ragtime Fabrics moved from downtown to their new store in Harrisonburg. We did a replica of that window. I forget what the words were on that something Motors, where their antique window is still there in that building. And they just wanted a replica of, only they wanted it to say Ragtime Fabrics on it. I'm trying to remember how that one was so wide that it almost didn't fit on our largest work table. Wow. We did another one that was six foot wide half circle for somebody's living room.
Wow.
That one was pretty fantastic. It had a lot of color and it was, that one. So somewhere in around the 11 to 12 square foot range is the biggest we've done. So,
and then what's the smallest piece you've done for custom work?
Well, I did a custom nightlight not that long ago.
Really? Okay. Yeah, that's small.
But also, I mean, if somebody came in and they told me that they're looking for a particular kind of earring, you know, I mean, we could certainly do that too. So, it could be anything. That's pretty small.
Yeah. Sky's the limit over there, really.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just definitely a beautiful story. You just starting from this water jet cutting machine, and then you had the warehouse, you expanded a bit more, but you've recently expanded even further, which is so exciting. So what's new now?
When we first started, our workspace was probably the first third maybe of half of the building that we're in. Then we expanded to about a quarter of that building. And now we're a full half going all the way to the back of the building. And we added tables in the back that we can seat. Well, if it's not pandemic, we can seat about 20 people. When the pandemic was at its worst, when people were wearing masks and we were trying to stay 6 feet apart, we kept it to 10 people back there. So we had more room. But when we do workshops, we can seat quite a few people in the back and also in the front. And then if we have to, we have space next door to us that's the same length. So the other half of the building is available to us. We have wood in there right now that we sell. I forget what it's called. The raw edge wood and some turning blocks and that kind of thing. And so that's on the other side that we sometimes expand into that for tables and chairs too, when we have workshops. And, but also we expanded the space for our members. For every member gets their own cubby where they can keep their tools and supplies and all of that. So we expanded that space. And somehow you just keep filling it up. If you expand, you fill it up. So we're doing a good job at that.
yeah. And I love hearing that. I'd like to get a little educated for myself and as well for laughers who may be new to stained glass. Mm-hmm. You carry a large line of glass and supplies. What are typical stained glass supplies and crafting tools one would need or use to create a piece?
Yeah. Well, you need to have a good cutter, and they come in a variety of shapes and sizes. We typically use pistol grip cutters that have like an oil that keeps the wheel lubricated. So you would need that. Obviously, you would need glass. Every piece in a soldered panel has to be copper foiled. So you would need a grinder to make sure all the edges were smooth. You didn't have any sharp pieces. And plus you can shape it that way too. But every piece would have to be copper foiled, which is a sticky backed copper tape that has to be foiled. And then you have to burnish it. So you could use an official burnisher. You could also use something like a Sharpie or, you know, clothespin, but official burnishers are handy. And then you have to have solder. You have to have flux, which cleans the copper so that the solder runs and sticks to the copper. After you finish it, then you need zinc to put around the outside if it's large enough to need zinc. And then there are chemicals for cleaning it off and then changing the solder color to copper, pewter, or black if you don't want to leave it silver. And then there's a compound for finishing it, which does the final cleaning and buffs it. And so, excuse me. And we sell all of those supplies. We do sell some lead came, but we don't do lead at our studio. We just do copper foil and solder. So we do a little bit sell supplies like that. But we also have books, pattern books that we sell. We have a large selection of glass. We sell like findings if you want to make jewelry. We sell grinders. Trying to think what all is on the wall. There are different kinds of breaking pliers. There's groziers and running pliers. Those are also very helpful and handy when you're trying to break glass. So the other thing that you get at Bridgeworks Glass Studio is experience. Key, who is our studio manager, has been doing it probably 10 years longer than me, and I've been doing it since 97. And so when you're ready to buy your supplies, if you don't have previous experience, it's helpful to talk to somebody who's been doing it a while.
Yes, I would say so. There was a lot of tools there. That's like, I have no idea.
Well, we'll be happy to show you each one.
Well, thank you. Like a burnisher. What in the world?
there's a tool called a FID. FID, and people are all the time saying, "What is this thing again? What is this thing again?" Anyway,
what does it do? Why do I need it? So,
exactly.
So like, I'm like a blind creative walking into the studio. I don't even know the first thing. So that's very comforting to know that Key is there to help and you to help walk through that process. Now, if someone's going in there to create something, they can get some direction. True. Yeah. They have to buy every supply that they need, or there's some supplies that they can use in your studio, or is it kind of like a combo approach?
If you're a member, members can use all of our tools. They don't have to buy their own tools. They're welcome to if they want to, and some people do because they just like having their own things. But any of those tools that I mentioned are available all the time on the tables that people can use. They just buy their consumable supplies, like the glass and their copper foil and solder and that kind of thing. If you're not a member, then you would need to either schedule a small class with us for yourself, or come to a class. And in that case, everything's provided for you. You don't have to buy all of those things to work with. So.
Oh, good. Okay. That's a great segue into the next couple of questions that I had for you. Let's talk about the memberships first. Our laughers can join your glass community, and it's a creative community where everyone's encouraged to exchange ideas, learn from each other's strengths, grow in their craft, whether they're just starting out for the very first time, like they're a virgin at this or something, or they're an experienced artisan, and you offer two levels, it looks like. Can you talk to us and tell us more about each of those membership levels?
The one membership level is free, and it basically gets you on our email list. But it does have a discount schedule with it. So $75, you get 5% off. At $125, you get 10% off. That's really handy for... maybe people that have their home studios that they're coming in to buy supplies, that kind of thing. Okay. But also it gets you on the newsletter list so that you can see what classes are coming up. You can see pictures of what members have done recently. The other membership is, we call it a Baroque membership. So that's a kind of glass, of course.
Thank you for that.
The other one is Cathedral. That is also a kind of glass.
I need that. I missed the missus earlier. You know what I mean?
So the Baroque membership, we require a 6-month commitment for that. And it's $35 a month. And with that, you get your own cubby for all your stuff as you collect things. You use all of our tools, our machinery. We teach you how to do that. You just pay for your consumables. You get 10% off everything all the time. We do require that you buy your supplies from us. We ask that you not bring things from outside unless you talk to us first. Of course, if you have a piece of glass that somebody gave you that you really want to use, we're going to let you bring that in. But if you're going to come in with glass purchase from someplace else, we're probably going to say no.
Okay.
Fair. But we try to make sure that we have all the supplies that you need, and we have a good variety of glass and things that that shouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, we all of a sudden I lost my train of thought. One of the things that you mentioned was about the community. And from the very beginning, that was part of our goal. We wanted to encourage a group of people that could come together and have fun, learn new things, get to know each other. And that has really taken off. It's one of my favorite things is getting to meet people that I wouldn't normally get to meet, and seeing people become friends over learning a new method, or sharing designs with each other, or inspiring each other. Ooh, try this thing. That has been the biggest blessing about the studio. One of the things that I love about our workshops, because they're accessible to kids, is the fusible things are accessible to kids. Sure. And I love watching the kids take these materials, and they don't worry about following the rules, and then just seeing what is important to them, what colors they choose, how they choose to put them together. It's just great. I love it. So that got away from the membership a little bit, but excuse me just one moment.
It's all right.
I was going to say something about the membership there, too.
You were talking about Baroque levels, and then... Did I say it wrong?
Nope, you said it right. Baroque. Yay. Baroque. Yes, yay. You did it.
And there was carousel, I believe you mentioned that. And then you were talking about bringing their own supplies. 6 months,
which
commitment.
They don't do. Yeah.
Come on.
I know what it was. You don't have to have any prior experience before you come. I mean, we have people that have done stained glass for years and they just want to get back to it, and they don't want to set up a studio in their dining room. We have lots of people that have never done any. You can focus on stained glass. You can focus on fused glass. You can focus on mosaics. There's lots of things you can do with fusing. So you can experiment with and see what is it, what's the thing that you like to do. You know, it just, and we really encourage people to just try doing their own patterns and really kind of exploring. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's Mm-mm. one of a kind handmade piece of artwork that you make yourself. And it's beautiful just because of that. Maybe yeah. it doesn't turn out quite straight. Who cares?
That's right.
It's fine. It's fine. So we do tell people to try and leave their perfectionism at the door. Which is kind of hard sometimes.
I know. Yeah, for me too. I would just have to call it abstract art if it didn't turn out.
Sure. Maybe mosaics is really your thing.
I think so. I have to look into these things. I'm sure you have classes for mosaic. You know, classic workshops that create the mosaics. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about these classes a little bit, because I did not realize mm-hmm. that you offer it for kids. I knew you had classes for adults. So can you talk about how young you take kids and then?
Well, we don't do kids specifically. Like, we don't have a kids class.
Okay.
But we do encourage people to bring kids to the workshops.
When we have
a workshop, what's different about a workshop and a class? A class is actually a prescribed thing that we do in this allotted amount of time. We're going to make this thing and it's going to include this series of stuff. And it's usually 3 hours to 3 days. And it's a class. But a workshop is, we used to have it drop in where people could just drop in during a specified period of time. And then we had people waiting in line and it got a little bit crazy. So the pandemic came. And so we realized that we needed to schedule appointments. So now we schedule appointments. But what a workshop is, we try to always have a soldered option and a fused option. The soldering, you have to be 13 to use the soldering iron. The fused option, there's no age minimum. I mean, I wouldn't want a child who would put the glass in their mouths or anything like that. We want to strive for safety.
Yeah.
But with the fused items, it's generally a pre-cut shape. And then we have what's called, you're going to like these. We have stringers and noodles, which are pulled glass pieces. A stringer looks like spaghetti and a noodle looks like fettuccine.
Okay.
And you can just break them with your fingers. And then you can glue them on to form whatever design you want. And then we also have nuggets, which we make in the kiln. And they vary from teeny tiny little nuggets to maybe a nickel size, and all different colors. And so those are also options. So basically, once they get their, you know, once they decide on their background piece, whatever shape or colors are available, they choose that. And then they go and they pick out all their other little sundries, and then it gets glued on in whatever design fashion they want. We probably the most popular workshops that we have are the Christmas ones. We do every Saturday. There are four soldered sessions and three fused sessions every Saturday in the month of November. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people in a Saturday. And we have whole families that come every year, and we try to offer different shapes or different styles or different colors every year, so that if you come every year, you know, if you really like doing the soldered things, you will have something different to take home this year than you had last year. And same with the fused items. So, you know, it's those workshops fill up pretty quickly. So
yeah, that's so you don't have to have any experience prior to November to come in and make a Christmas ornament.
No. And that's one of the nice things about the workshops too, because they're not They're a shorter amount of time. Everything is pre-cut for you. Even if you're soldering, basically your copper foiling and soldering, we try to keep the number of pieces to between 5 and 7, just so time-wise, it doesn't take up a whole lot of time. And you get your feet wet, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we have people that become members because they've done one or two workshops and they like it and they think, oh, I want to do more of this. Those are really good ways to just kind of get a little experience without having to get a huge commitment in costs. And yeah.
Wow, that sounds really good. Yeah, that Christmas ornament workshop looks super fun. I'm going to have to look at the November Saturdays because I love Christmas and that's great. Right now it's summer. And I know. November. So I'm wondering, in the summer, do you have every summer kind of workshops like you do every November, or does it change up?
We usually do workshops kind of with the season or with the holiday.
Okay.
We had a heart workshop in February. Mm. We had Easter workshop in, when was Easter? April. March, mm-hmm. April. We actually have a plant steak workshop coming up the third weekend of this month, I think, where there will be choices of, for the soldering, gnomes, mushrooms, and what's the other one? Gnomes, mushrooms, and a flower,
right,
for the soldering options. And then there's 4 different shapes for the fused option. And so you can come and choose what you want to make for your plants, decorate your plants.
That's cool.
And yeah, that September and October, trying to think what we have. We have a frit painting class for making a night light where you paint with frit, which is crushed glass. It's like sand that you learn to paint with that. I'm going off the top of my head here, so I'm sure I'm not catching everything. But then once we hit November, it's all about the Christmas workshops. And then our last big event of the year is we have a big Christmas open house week. And then we all breathe a big sigh of relief and take a few minutes to
catch your breath,
to catch our breath. Yeah.
Before you ring in the new year and start it all over again.
Exactly. Exactly.
That sounds good. You mentioned earlier a kiln. I've seen one. There are probably some laughers out there who've never seen one. So what is a kiln? It's K-I-L-N, right? Mm-hmm. What is a Correct. Kiln exactly, and what does it do? Why do stained glassers want to work with it?
Well, that would actually be warm glass instead of stained glass.
Okay.
Hot glass would be more of a kiln that's like a furnace, you know, where you see like Blown Away, that series on TV where they blow glass. That's hot glass.
Okay.
So what we do with a kiln, we have kilns as small as ones that'll fit in your microwave. So you can have your own little microwave kiln at home. So they are as small as that to commercial ones can be quite large that actually need a crane to lift up the top of them. And they get up to, I think our biggest kiln goes up to about 1800 degrees. Maybe higher than that. We just haven't gone higher than that. we name our kilns because we have 3, we had 4, but now we have 3, and we name them. We have Baby, which is the little one.
All right.
And then we have Daisy, which is a nice little medium-sized one. And then we have Bubba, which is our big one.
We had
Joe, but Joe went to a new home, so he's not there anymore. But
So Joe misbehaved, I guess, maybe.
Joe was just too hot. He fired too hot, man.
So you're out of here, Joe.
No. So the whole reason that we put things in the kiln is to heat the glass up to a temperature where it's going to do what the end result is that we're looking for. So it could be that we just want to fire polish it. And that would be where it has a cut edge and we just want it to round slightly and get shiny. So that would be a fire polish. We could take it to a tack fuse. That would be where you still want to feel, see the different shapes on top of the background layer, but it softens those edges and the glass in between those layers gets molten and becomes fused together. So that would be a tack fuse. If you wanted to go to a full fuse, that would be where you would take it up to 1600 degrees and it would all become one smooth piece of glass. So if you had, let's say you had a base layer and then you put a design on top and you take it up to that temperature, when you took it out of the kiln, it would be all one really smooth piece of glass. So you kind of have to know what you're shooting for before you put it in the kiln, and it makes a difference on how fast. There's a whole kind of language that you talk about with the kiln about as far as how fast you ramp up the heat. You hold it for a bubble squeeze so that allows the air to come out between the different layers. You go up to your top temperature, which is whatever you decide how you want it to look when it comes out. And then you anneal as it comes down because you want the glass all to come to the same temperature slowly. That all depends on the size of what you're doing, the thickness, how many layers of glass you're putting in there. Glass seeks to be a quarter of an inch thick. A standard piece of thickness of glass is about an eighth of an inch thick. So if you put, I talked earlier about that we make all of our nuggets for our workshops.
Yes, yes.
If you put in a little piece of glass that's an eighth of an inch thick and you take it to a full fuse, that would be the hottest temperature, it will draw up into a little round nugget because it's seeking to be that quarter of an inch thick. So if you put two pieces together, let's just say you have a 4-inch square and you put two pieces together and you put them in the kiln and you take them up to a full fuse, they're going to pretty much stay the same shape. They're going to round, okay. But they're pretty much going to stay the same. But if you did that same thing with three layers of glass, when you took it up to the full fuse, it would start to spread out. So in order to keep that straight shape, you'd have to put a dam around it or put it in a mold or something that would keep it that same shape. And then you also can slump things over molds, which will take that piece and make it into that shape that you're slumping or draping on. And that's kind of in between a fire polish and a tack fuse. So there, that's your really quick introduction to fusing. So
I feel like we just had a live Wikipedia page on the kiln. That was awesome. I get it now. Basically, if you want to mold the glass into a shape, a bowl, or curve it, or bend it, then that's when the kiln comes into play.
Correct. Yes.
Got it. All right. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Well, for the other thing that's really neat about your shop is in addition to the services you provide for people to create, you also have other gifts and goodies the Laffers can find at your shop. Can you share with us some of the gifts and goodies they might find?
Sure.
There? Yeah.
Well, we try to always keep on hand whatever is current for that season or holiday. So, we have shamrocks around St. Patrick's Day so we try to always keep some of those things on hand. One of the things that's really popular in the fall is we have glass fall leaves and pumpkins and gourds, which are very fall colorful pieces. Those are always very popular. But then we always have jewelry. We always have earrings, bracelets, some necklaces. We have lampshades. We have small things that you can hang in your window. We have bigger panels that you can hang in your window. So it's pretty varied. And we do also have the pre-cut kits that I had talked about before, which those we do cut on the water jet. They are our designs. We make our own. And those are really more for people who have a studio at home, who already have the supplies, and then they can take these kits and they can put them together or they can put them in a panel. But then we also make those things, finish them. And so those are also for sale as far as, you know, you can choose that bird made or in a kit. So,
yeah. Speaking of the kit, you have an Etsy shop that's available through your website, and it mentions this easy to assemble kit. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes. And they are easy to assemble if you have some experience with stained glass. Although we do also use those in classes, you know, so if somebody wanted to put one of those birds together, they could call and schedule a time that we would do a class with them and they could put together one of those kits. So it would end up just kind of being a personal class that you could take. So that's a possibility too. But we have some kits that are more complex, bigger panels. We just are now introducing a whole new series of small birds. They're probably maximum 5 inches. So the probably the most difficult thing about the small ones is that they have some pretty small pieces that you have to copper foil.
I see.
But yeah.
Delicate. So, delicate.
Exactly.
I think right now there's 13 different kinds of easy to assemble kits at the moment. So there are options.
That sounds about right. Yeah. And we're always trying to add new ones, and then we'll retire some that we've had for a long time. And it's always trying to, we just introduced a new animal line. And so right now we have the pig, which is adorable, and the horse, which is beautiful. Those have already been cut. They're ready for sale. We have a sheep coming and a black and white calf coming, which have not yet been cut, but they've been designed. It's in the pipeline.
Wow, that's exciting. I love all that you're doing. It's really great. So as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Bridgeworks Glass on social media or otherwise, so they too can get more information?
Sure. You can find us on Facebook and Bridgeworks Glass, and also on Instagram. We also have a website, bridgeworksglass.com, and make sure you get the Y in there because it's not traditional. So it's BRYDGE. And we do have the newsletter. So if you want to sign up for the newsletter, you can do that through, I believe you can do it through our Facebook page and through our website. You can call us up and we'll put you on the list, or you can come in and sign up.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Rebecca. This has been
Thank
so great.
You. Oh, I so enjoy great. Talking about this. This is great for me.
It's been great for me too. I've learned so much. It's been so much fun spending time with you today, talking about all things stained glass at Bridgeworks Glass. So thanks again. You are welcome. Mm-hmm. And laughers, once again, you can get information by visiting their website at bridgeworksglass.com. Bridgeworksglass.com. As Rebecca mentioned, that's BRYDGE, worksglass.com. Or visit their shop and studio at 335 Harpine Highway, also known. Go ahead.
It's 3315.
Oh, I missed a number. I'm glad we figured that out before we close. So laughers, 3315. Thank you, Rebecca, at Harpine Highway, also known around here as Route 42 in Harrisonburg. We'll also be sure to put this information for you in the show notes as well, so you can check out all their supplies, the kiln, water jet cutting, classes, seminars, workshops, gifts, and more. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.